Well, hey, welcome to day 13 of 30X Life. Today, we're going to take our communication skills and add to it understanding behavioral styles of human beings. You know, if we want to get along well with people, we want to build a life, then we obviously need to manage relationships. And part of that is understanding human behavior. A major part of human behavior is understanding their behavioral styles, okay? What are the ways people behave in general, okay? Because if we do that, then we can get along with them a whole lot better. Understanding our own communication style, understanding our own behavioral style allows us to adapt and change with the people we're with so that we can make certain the environment we create is one where people have a good time and where things are moving well and where we get along with people. Now, in order to discuss human behavior, we use a very simple tool in our life called the DISC profiling tool, D-I-S-C. DISC stands for the D-I-S and C. If you'll see, listen, let me put it up onto a chart for you so you can see this. D stands for dominant, okay, the dominant person. I for influence. I'm going to go through each of them in detail, so don't panic. Dominant person, influence person. S stands for stability. Okay, and C for compliance. Okay, so these are the four main behavioral styles we're going to take a look at. Now, you may have come across many other profiling tools from personality profiles like the Myers-Briggs type inventory, many other different ways. I kind of like DISC because I can use it both for business and for at home as well. It applies to both. So, again, with this, the same as the communication one, we all have all four of these within us, okay? We all have a bit of the dominant high D, a bit of the dominant high I. I use the word high because it describes the measure for you. Again, if you want to do this profile tool, see your action coach, make sure you chat with them. They'll show you where you can do these, okay? Now, when we're looking at the high I or the high S or the high C, each of them is different. Each has a different behavioral style. They learn differently. They would go about taking a task on differently. They buy differently. You need to manage them or lead them differently. If they're members of your family, you need to interact with them differently. Because it's kind of like two people. The same as the visuals, auditories, and kinesthetic is like two different languages. And if a visual is talking with a kinesthetic, they don't get it type thing. The same with a high D communicating with a high I. They'll upset the high I and they won't even know why. So let's take a look at it. And first of all, start to understand each of the four. Then I'm going to teach you how you can actually go about recognizing each of the four so that when you're dealing with someone, you can actually go through and use the right modality behavior in order to work with that person or get along better with them. So the high D is your dominant person. This is the person who likes to be first. They like to be number one. They like the newest, the latest, the greatest thing. The high D is often the person that starts a lot of things and probably doesn't finish a whole bunch of them. The high D is the person that's ordered 100 magazines and only read, two pages of six of them. They've got all of the books on the shelves, haven't read any of them yet. The high D is a great visionary. They're the starter. They're the entrepreneurial flavor. They're the person that gets things going, that comes up with initial ideas. So there's both positives and negatives to being a high D. Every team needs a high D. They need someone who's the starter, the beginner, the wants to be first and wants to get things going. It's very important to understand that we want all of these in a group or in a team. And however your family's made up is just fine as well. Now, the other thing about the DISC profile, two people can both have high D scores, and yet one can be way higher than the other. It's not relative from one person to the next. There's no comparison of this. It's only relative to within you, which behavioral style is mostly you. The high I, on the other hand, is the influencer. This is the people-oriented person. This person likes to have a lot of friends. They're the one that brings a group together. This person, if you look at their desk, they're going to have a whole bunch of photographs of their friends and family. They're probably on the phone to one of their friends or family. They've probably got a million Instagram followers and hundreds of thousands of people on Facebook that are their friends type thing. The high I is the life of the party. The high I is the person that, if a team building event's going on, they're the one holding the team together. They're the ones throwing the party. They're the ones bringing everybody together is the high I person's role. Again, we'll get to more detail on this in a moment. The high S, the stability person. This is a person who likes things the way they are. The high D wants new and that. The stability person definitely wants things to stay steady, normal, the way they've always done it. They're very clear about routine and want to make sure that routine is a part of their life. Still people-oriented, but definitely more reserved than the high I, okay? The stable person is the person that'll keep doing the same job over and over and over again. They just keep doing it, and they actually enjoy doing the same job over and over again. And that's their strong point. It's also their weakness that they don't often come up with the new ideas and the new strategies. But that's the idea of this person. Again, each team has different needs and different wants. And the high S is often a person that you need to have on your team. If you look at their desk, you know it's their desk because they're there. They're there and they're working. They stay working. They keep doing the job. Same routine every time. Same way of doing it is generally the way they like it. The high C, on the other hand, is less people-oriented. This is a real compliance, detail-oriented style person. The high C is, if there's 100 pages of information to read on something, they will have read all 100 pages. They make sure everything is correct. They're the I's dotted, the T's crossed. They're the people with the checklists. They're the people with all of the detail. If there's 10 questions you can ask about something, they'll ask 11. They want to know all of the details and come down to it. Now, if you take a look on the chart, what we start to notice is that the D and the I are the outgoing people, okay? The high D and the I are more outgoing. They're the people that will come up front and be the loud, more boisterous ones. The S's and C's, however, are the more reserved people that you'll meet. So they're more reserved, they're more calm, they're more out of the way, willing to be in the background a bit more and allow others to take the limelight. The I's and S's are the people-oriented people, so they're more about the human interaction and about the people, whereas the D's and C's are more about the task, they're more about the job at hand and getting to do it. So, let's start thinking about how these four different types of people would attack a task by understanding how we find which one they are. So, for example, if I was to meet someone the first time round and they were very outgoing, very gregarious and bubbly, and I thought, huh, this person's obviously either a D or an I, mostly. Again, we've got all four. They're obviously more of a D or an I. Great. Now, they've got a lot of friends. They're chatting with everyone. Ah, this person's more of a high I than they are the other profiles. If, however, they're outgoing, but they're like, hey, let's get the job done. How do we get this started? Then you know they're more of a high D style person. They're more about the task. Again, the same for reserved people. Are they more about the task to be a C or more about the people to be a high S? As we think about how they approach a task, let's do some simple tasks. How would a high D learn swimming? That's right. A high D would dive straight in the deep end. That would be their way of learning to go swimming. Okay. Dive right in and see what happens. Any task they take on, just dive right in. The high I, how would they learn swimming? Well, they would get a bunch of their friends and go and take swimming classes together. They'd meet up beforehand for lunch, and then they'd take the class, and then they'd go and have a cocktail or two afterwards, because they're a high I, and it's all about the people experience. The S person would take lessons. They would definitely take quite a few lessons and do it steady, slowly as she goes to make sure that the change is not too rapid. It's a steady process. The high C would read probably 4 or 5 books, watch 5 or 6 videos, and then go and start taking their lessons from that perspective. But only after they'd researched the person giving the lessons and looked up every single detail possible about that swim school. So you're starting to see how these people work on their own. Let's take a look at it from a work position. The high D is the person who's generally let's think about how they would attack a task at work. Imagine the work task is to plan moving the office, okay? You've got to move from one building to the next. What would the high D do? They would turn to someone and say, hey, you do this, you do that, you get this done, you do that done. Let's get a truck here right now and let's start filling the truck. Okay, they'd appoint everybody to do the work, and then they'd get the truck and get it all started. How would the high I do it? Well, why don't we all come in on the weekend, and we can all go and we can start the moving process, and we can go to lunch, and then afterwards we can all go out for a dinner and a drink. Okay, that's your high I organizing it. The Hi-S, if we were planning a move, they would want to make sure that everything worked the exact same way. It would take time. It would take a fair bit of energy and effort. They would want the new building to look exactly like the old building. They'd want to make sure everything moved perfectly and went back into the right sort of way of doing so. Things were done the same way and we don't disrupt too much of the ongoing process. Now, the high C, on the other hand, this person is going to meticulously plan the move. They're going to go through 27 steps of what the move needs to look like. They're going to make sure they find the right person to do the move with them. They're going to go through all of the details, survey, questionnaires, et cetera, to make sure this is done perfectly. So, these are the types of people that generally we're going to take a look at in the DISC behavioral profile system. Once you learn your profile, it's easier for you to adapt to other people. Now, we don't learn our profile either in communication or in behavior. We don't learn it to justify our behavior. We don't learn, well, I'm a high D, that's just the way I am. No, we learn it so that we can adapt. We learn it so that we can move and change when we need to, so that we can actually be better at interacting with other people. So let me give you a simple example. Imagine the husband and wife scenario. Now, you've got a husband and wife. She is a high D and he is a high S. Now, here's what's going to happen. One who likes to start everything, do new stuff all the time and challenge the way the world works, the newest, latest and greatest. And one who likes things stable and steady and things to stay where they are and how they were. There's going to be some clashes coming in this relationship, obviously. Same if it's a work relationship. What about the high D and the high I? You know, one's a high I, outgoing and bubbly and gregarious. Now, they're both at least outgoing. This is a starting point for them getting along. One is very task-oriented, one is very people-oriented. The high I will be the life of the party. The high D will be the boss of the party. You know, it's two different people getting along quite well, but the high D will offend the high I. They won't even know why they did. In fact, they'll probably be okay with it or happy about it because they achieved something at least. The high I will be upset and upset for days. Understanding other people's behavioral patterns makes relationships and communication so much easier, so much simpler. So, for example, if, let's just say, I was a high D and I'm in a relationship with a high C, what do I need to know? I need to know that my partner wants more details than I'm usually willing to give. I need to know that my partner, if we're having an event, wants to know X, Y, Z, T's crossed, I's dotted. They want to know all the details. It's going to frustrate me as the high D because I'm like, why do we need to spend so much time on something that's really not that important? We can just make it up as we go. You know, so you're looking at a relationship where there's going to be patterns where you have to understand the other person's major patterns and major behavioral strategies. You know, if you're a high I and you're with a high C, you're outgoing and people-oriented. They want to stay at home and be on the computer and be task-oriented. You're going to understand that that's who the person is that you married, so don't try and change them. Yes, they will come on some high I excursions with you, but you've got to do some high C stuff with them as well. If we're thinking about, you know, buying or selling, how does a high D buy? A high D is a purchaser of newest, latest, greatest. I want to see the bottom line, and then I'll make a decision instantly. The high I wants to get along with the salesperson and hang out with them and be their friend. They'll buy from you if you become their friend. Not so much just because, you know, this is the newest, latest product. It's because, well, this person recommended or this celebrity endorsed it type thing. It's all about the people orientation. The high S is going to buy because they're looking at the, you know, well, what's the one we had last time? I'll get one that's exactly the same. Or which one has the best warranty or guarantee? That's the high S methodology. They still want to trust the salesperson because they like trust. They like that long-term, the same person they dealt with last time. If they can possibly do that, buy the same thing from the same person, oh my goodness, the high S is in heaven. The high C will be the person who does 14 days of research online. They'll go through every website possible and make sure they have all of the details done. They'll go through the spec sheet, all of these things. So understanding this about people, about your friends, about your family members, about the people you work with, about the people you have to get along with in anything that you're doing, helps you become better at managing these relationships, helps you be a better manager at work, helps you be a better leader of your team, because you understand the personality or the behavioral style of the people that you are working with. Again, understanding DISC as well as VAC, the NLP, as well as this behavioral profile, it's a whole study in and of itself. You could spend weeks learning the DISC profile and becoming a certified person behind this. Chat with the team here at 30X and make sure if you want to do that, you get to learn these things. It's very important that what's going to serve you most is something that you continue studying. Now, if we take a look at using this stuff in a day-to-day, how is it that we're going to recognize the high D? Obviously, they're outgoing and task-oriented. But this is the person that others might see as a bit of a bully. This is the person that others might see as loud and obnoxious and straight to the point. That's the sort of communication you're going to get. In the text message or an email, they're going to send you one line or three words. They're not going to write an essay behind this thing. They're a high D. They're straight to the point. How are we going to recognize the high I? Well, this is the person that everyone sees. Oh, they're the most nicest person ever. They're everyone's best friend. That's how you're going to start to recognize the high I. Of course, again, they're outgoing, people-oriented. What we're going to start to see in text messages from them is simple things like, how are you? How's you doing? What did you do on the weekend? They're concerned about you and what you did. They're concerned about sharing what they did. And that way we start to pick up cues in the text message or in the emails of the type of person that we're dealing with, so we can communicate back about their weekend and ask them about that and what they did and how their weekend was and who they hung out with and that sort of stuff. The high S, on the other hand, this is the person who's more in the background. They're rarely going to be the upfront, jumping in the face and being the life of the party. They're going to be more in the background, but they're still concerned about the people side of things. They're still chatting with the humans. They're still maybe sharing photos of what they're doing. Sharing photos is still a bit more high I. And again, if you look at people's social media, you'll start to see their visual, auditory, kinesthetic. You'll start to see DISC showing up in what they do online, in their social media, in their texts, in their emails, in how they communicate with you, okay? So when we're looking for that high S person, they're not quite as gregarious and outgoing as the high I, but they're still interested in the people. They're looking for safety. They're looking for trust, for security, that sort of thing in their purchase. They want to know that when they're communicating with you that it's calm, it's easy. Now, they will write a lot longer. The high I will write a longer message to you or text a longer message to you. But the high I, it'll be more about the people, not the job at hand. The high S, again, about the people. They'll go into a lot more, but less gregarious words, not as excitable as the high I is when they're using words on their social media or in their emails or text messages to you. The high C is the long emails, the long text messages, detail-oriented, lots of words, getting it very clear, making sure that, you know, they're communicating in detail. This is the type of person that, well, high Ds and Is think they're annoying because they always want to know every detail. But for as high C, this is the type of person that you really want to have on your team in certain positions. See, think about it. You want the high Ds and the high Is out in sales or in leadership style positions. You want the high Ss in the regular day-to-day do-the-job positions. You want the high Cs in the accounting or the legal or the detail-oriented parts of your company. Again, we all have all four, and we can get stronger at all four depending upon the person we're with or the group we're involved in, which one of these four modalities is most important to us. So, learn your modality. If you need to do the test, chat with your action coach or get online here at 30X or get online with the 30X team and make sure you've got those tests done. Then start learning the people around you. Homework tonight, I want you to take that same list of people that you had yesterday, the 5 to 10 people that you wrote, what are they, visual, auditory, or kinesthetic, and I want you to start working out, are they high D, high I, high S, or high C majority, which is the one that is most of their behavioral style. So keeping on behavior, I want to take a look at a few different areas of behavior that will help us in success in life. First of all, let's understand that knowing each other's behavioral style is important. Playing up to using someone else's behavioral style to be better at communicating with them is again important. However, there's a point at which you take it too far, and it's just like it becomes a manipulative way. No, that's not where I'm going with this. Where I'm going with this is you use it so that your communication is understood and so that you understand them. It's about making certain that you understand the person. When you look at NLP, the techniques of matching and mirroring, again, it's just taking it to a point where maybe, just maybe, we're now trying to do something that is more manipulative than true communication. True communication is about getting your message understood, not about changing and manipulating other people. I think that behavioral understanding is really important, mostly in relationships. If we understand why someone does things the way they do, it makes our relationship so much easier, because it's like, hey, that used to annoy me. I now understand why that person does it that way. I don't need to be annoyed by it. I need to go, wow, that's a strength of theirs. How do I make sure that strength is something that works for both of us? Okay? So, several other behaviors that I just want to touch on, because some of these are very much ones that get in the way of success. Okay? The biggest success limiter is the lack of action taking. Someone who has the behavior where they just don't do what they know they need to do. Let's examine that just for a little bit. When you know what you need to do and you're just not doing it, we can go back and watch the earlier 30 X's on fear of failure, fear of success, and all those sorts of things. However, most of the time I find when someone is not taking action, it's because they're not really clear on where they need to go. Now, that could be for one of several reasons. The majority that I find is they go into a state called overwhelm. Too much to do, just don't know where to start the list. I've got all of these things that I need to get done, and I'm just overwhelmed with the amount of work that needs to be done. Listen. Overwhelm is a very big challenge in today's world. There is so much happening and so much communication that we get to a point where, you know, people struggle. And this is where you have to use a very simple time management tool to sit down and say, okay, where is it that this task lies? Now, Stephen Covey wrote a great book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. If you haven't read it, I kind of highly recommend it. But in part of that, he did a simple thing, completing a task analysis of urgent versus important. See, if you're doing things like sitting on your phone, playing on Instagram, that's not urgent and it's not important, okay? Watching television programs, not urgent, not important. A lot of times when people aren't doing the work they need to do, they're filling their time with tasks that are not urgent, not important. Okay? It is an avoidance behavior. It is doing the easy thing rather than the hard thing. When Brian Tracy wrote the book, How to Eat That Frog, I think that we have to understand that was a very important aspect of getting the results out there into the marketplace. With that said, overwhelm doesn't come from just one time not doing what you needed to do. Overwhelm comes from multiple times not doing the things you know you needed to do. So how do we get out of overwhelm? Quite simple. We make a list. We make the list and then we prioritize that list. Behaviors that are in a list and then prioritized will get done as long as you've got the list there and you have accountability behind it. But my point behind this is simple. Avoiding the behaviors that need to be done is not a trait of a DISLC. It's a trait of a human being, okay? So we can't say, oh, that's because I'm an I or an S or a C or a D or whatever it is. What we have to do is sit down and say, my behavioral modality has nothing to do with the fact that I'm hiding from the work that I should be doing, that I'm hiding from the exercise that I should be doing, that I'm hiding from the relationship building I should be doing, that I'm hiding from all these different aspects. I think that what we've got to sit down and say to ourselves is, listen, I admit I'm in overwhelm. I admit I haven't been doing what I needed to do. Let me make a list and get started at number one. Of course, you got to prioritize them to A grade, B grade, and so on. But that's really a part of it. two final behaviors I want to touch on that I find killing success quite a lot. There's a great quote by Richard Branson about, you know, when someone offers me an opportunity that I don't know how to do it, I say yes, and then I work out how to do it. And, you know, I'm in two minds with that quote. One, love it. I think that's great. Yes, you need to take opportunities that are a stretch. Two, when you put yourself in a situation where you're out of your depth, where you put yourself in a situation where you have gone past it and you don't know what behaviors to be taking at this point, you know, it becomes a real challenge. So our overwhelm is one way to deny what we need to get done and deny the behaviors that need to get done. Putting ourselves out of our depth is another way of doing that and making certain that we don't do anything. And then we go into a self-sabotage, as we've talked about on previous 30Xs. Listen, the reason I bring this up is quite simple. There are a few groups that are more tendency to put themselves out of their depth. High Ds and high Is. High Ds and Is have more tendency to put themselves in an out-of-depth situation because that's just the nature of the outgoing beast, okay? If you find that that's what you're doing on a regular basis, putting yourself into a situation where you're out of your depth and you got to scramble to catch up type thing, it's okay as long as you recognize that's what you're doing. If you're doing it and not even noticing you're doing it, then that's not okay. To understand that, yep, I'm choosing to put myself in a situation where I have to do massive learning to succeed at this, that's okay. But doing it without knowing that's the choice, I think that's where the challenge lies in the success for that behavior. Finally, I want to deal with another behavior that, the C's and S's get themselves into overwhelm. The D's and I's get themselves out of their depth. The final behavior I want us to take a look at is one called the superhero complex or superheroitis. Tendency to be a high D, high I trait, but has been known to happen for S's and C's at a large rate as well. What do I mean by the superhero complex? I mean something simple. When someone around you does the job, they don't do it as well as you would have done it. You dive in and fix it for them. You dive in and show them how they would have done it. High C's do it because they see someone who hasn't cleaned up the details and got it all done. High S's do it because it's not the way it's been done in the past. High I's do it because, well, we didn't want to offend anybody. We want to make sure everyone enjoyed it. High D's do it just because they like to prove that they're the biggest and best and baddest in the bunch, okay? Listen, superhero complex is a killer of success because what happens is that the person, the behavior of the person puts themselves into a situation where they're thinking, I've got to do this better, I've got to do it more, I've got to do it bigger. And let me give you a quick story of this. I had one of our clients here at Action Coach, and this is a business example, where he suffered severely from superheroitis to the point where if any of his staff made a mistake, he had to dive in and fix it. Listen, diving in and fixing it is a great thing once or twice. But if you find yourself diving in and fixing stuff on a regular basis, it's possibly because you're not helping that person grow and therefore do a great job in and of themselves. One of the reasons for this is because when we have a certain behavioral profile, we tend to like people who have a similar profile to us. I've seen it happening in hiring situations all the time, in groups of friends and stuff, in cliques. You know, if I'm a high I, I hang out with all the other high I's. The high D's hang out together, or they're the eagle up in the nest by themselves. The high C's all hang out together as well. And so what you start to see happening is because we see people who are different to ourselves, we don't see that as a benefit. Listen. The best teams are the ones who have different behaviors on them. The best teams are the ones who have the high I who's good at making everybody their friend. The high D who's great at starting things off and getting the crowd going or getting the group happening or getting something begun or started. It's great to have the high C's who can do the detail stuff and the high S's who like to keep everything in order and keep the team together and the people moving forward and doing the same stuff. You know, it is a phenomenal situation where you can see these groups all working together.
a family situation, a group scenario, understand what type of personality trait you're dealing with, what type of behavior, what type of communication style, and all of a sudden now you can harness the power of the group rather than be, wow, that doesn't work, that doesn't work, and trying to fix everything for everybody. Communication is massively important. Behavioral style understanding, massively important. Like 30x life comes from understanding yourself and understanding those around you. So, remember that homework. What are they? D-I-S or C, the people you hang out with the most, the top 5, top 10 people. Get it down on paper, start to understand them, and maybe try and teach this to some of them and see how you go with it. Anyway, that's 30x for day 13. See you tomorrow for day 14. Bye for now.